This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the big-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What is up?
Free agency is up.
You guys. No, it's not free agency.
It's not?
No.
What is it?
It's the tampering period.
Ah, yes. The old tampering period.
Which is
period.
The worst name for anything in all of sports.
Yeah, you don't want to, because it's legal, but like tampering just leads to bad vibes. Oh, has anyone ever been like, oh, I'm just tampering with something and have it be a good thing? Although in the case of free agency, it is a good thing because players get paid way more money than they should. So good for tampering, I suppose. If you're the third best receiver and someone wants to give you $10 million, go for it.
But you're right. Tampering does have an inherently negative connotation. Like,
yes.
Tampering is a bad thing.
Yeah. Are you tampering with your marriage? That's bad. Tampering at work? That's bad. Tampering at anything. You don't want to tamper.
No, tampering's bad.
Yes. It's like the word moist. It just leads
to... Well, that's not supposed to be bad.
But it is.
It's just bothersome.
Yeah. Hey, what's the environment like out there? It's moist. You're like, ew. It's a bad word. So, but yes, legal tampering.
I think that's what they call it, the legal tampering period.
Legal tampering period, which is no different than the illegal tampering period, other than they're like, look, we know you're going to do this anyway, so go ahead and do it.
Yeah, so they need to change that name. I think that would be my advice.
Yeah.
But probably not going to listen to me, are
they? No, it's not.
So I think in college recruiting, they have a contact period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the early, yeah.
Like you're allowed to make contact with recruits?
But that's it. Just some contact. Although now you can just buy kids, so it really doesn't matter. I feel like the entire philosophy of the NCAA now is just tamper away. I mean, when you think about it, was it the state of Tennessee and Virginia, I believe, sued the NCAA to say we can tamper all we want? And the court said, yeah, tampering. Go right ahead.
Well, Dan Hurley just went on 60 Minutes and said 50% of my roster is already being tampered with to come in the transfer portal.
Well, what even is tampering?
There is no such thing anymore in college football.
So why are they calling it that?
I don't know. Because again, I think
it's not tampering.
I think they want to paint it as negative. And when you want to make something negative, tamper.
But don't designate it officially as a negative thing. That's silly.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the tampering period.
Again, I can't think of anything that's tampering and have it. You can tinker. Tinker can be good.
Tinkering's great.
This should be the NFL tinker period.
Tweak?
Yeah, tweaking. Yeah, tweaking and
the tweaking period. The twerking period.
Oh, that's always good. See, yeah, you can do that. You just can't. You can't tamper. That's no good. Right out.
Tamper.
Mm-hmm.
I just met her.
Ah, I see what you did there.
That's from the text line. Thought I'd get that one in.
Well played, text guy.
Yeah,
well played.
Yeah, nice job.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
So. Go home? We done? We done here?
No, Sam Darnold's a Seahawk.
Seahawk fan, boy, it's an interesting time right now to be a Seahawk fan. I would say...
Well, if I were a Seahawk fan,
yeah,
I wouldn't be ecstatic.
No, it's... I don't know how to put it. If you're a Seahawk fan, I'll just say this. Of the NFL teams that exist, the 32 franchises, I would say during this tampering, tinkering, twerking, whatever period you want to call this.
Fiddling phase?
Fiddling. Ooh, I like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're fiddling.
Official NFL fiddling phase.
The Seahawks have definitely been fiddled with, maybe a self-fiddle. And I would say, especially of the self-fiddlings, this is probably the one that feels the most non-consensual. This feels a little awkward if you're a Seahawk fan.
More like a Dr. Dan finger diddling.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. Did you?
No, that one.
It's all rhyming.
From him.
Yeah, from Buckley. But it's
from
like,
you, I thought it would be.
This is a self-induced fiddling. And I think if you're a Seahawk fan, for some people, I think... Because obviously there's two different visions being sold right now. And I can see in a vacuum where Seattle's going with this. I just think for a lot of fans, this is going to be a hard sell.
Why do you say in a vacuum? What does that mean?
All right. Well, because it doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you better.
Well, what does even that term mean? Like in a vacuum?
Well, in a vacuum.
I'm just looking narrowly at the situation?
Yes, in my little box here. Like if you're going to tell me as the Seahawk management, if the Seahawk management sat down, and this is all I've ever asked from any front office.
Isn't in a vacuum just ignoring all outside circumstances?
Yes, yes. Oh. So if you sit down with me as a franchise, this is all I've ever asked, is have a reasonable plan that you can lay out for me, and this is why we did this. And when you can do that, I can disagree with it. I can think it's a little strange. I can think that it's maybe narrow-minded. And I can think it doesn't make you better right now. But I see what you're doing. And when you don't have that, that's when I think you become the bad organizations. The Cincinnati Bengals can't tell me, in or out of a vacuum, what the hell they're doing. The Dallas Cowboys don't have a reasonable explanation for the way they go about their offseason every year. They
smiles
just don't.
And glory holds.
Yes.
There it is right there.
They do that. And that's not a good plan. Jerry Jones can't sit down with anyone and say, both Cincinnati and Dallas, they do this. Hey, we like to keep our homegrown players, but what we like to do is we like to wait and then make it a dogfight with them, and then we don't sign them to the very last minute when what we could have signed them for is way less than what eventually we're going to sign them for because the market gets reset by someone else. That is such a horse crap strategy, and yet they both do it all the time.
I have concepts of a plan.
But what Seattle is doing, this is what kind of Seattle does. And so, like I said, in a vacuum, I'm sitting in that room with the Seahawk management. I think I could sit here and I could lay out the case that Seattle is going to make for what they're doing, and I could make it make sense. So even if I think today, right now, I think Seattle is worse than what they were the previous 3 years, I can see what they're doing. But that's hard for a fan base. It's hard for a fan base sometimes to see that. So I think Seattle right now, you're looking at this and you're kind of like, what the hell did we just do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do we have to talk about it yet?
No.
Should we just get into it right now?
You can talk about it whenever you want to talk about
it. I hate starting the show with sports.
It is your show.
No, it's our show. And you're talking sports. You know,
if I'm here and you're here, isn't it our time?
I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just, I guess they haven't really explained it yet.
No.
But it sounds like they did want to bring Geno back. He just didn't want a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the report is that he requested a trade.
Yeah.
So if you look at it through that vacuum, see, mm-hmm. does that work in a vacuum?
That lens, that prism.
If you look at it through that, you see why they did what they did. And yeah. It maybe makes a little more sense because they offered Geno 2 years, $40 million a year
mm-hmm.
or something. Like four, they said even in between 80 and 90 total, mm-hmm. $1 million, yep. U.S. millions.
U.S. dollars.
Which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't counter and requested a trade. That's the report.
Mm-hmm.
They have not confirmed that. Well, if that's the case, you trade him, you get a third, and then you just go sign Sam Darnold. You give him the extra year, that third year.
Which is non-guaranteed anyways. You can move off of this after 2 years. It doesn't matter.
And you pay him less than 40 a year. What's he getting, like 36 a year?
So it's $9 million. Basically, the opportunity cost for this is you get a third round pick and you save $9 million a year and you go from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and that, if you put it that way, it's fine. It's, I think they're the kind of the same quarterback in a sense that I don't really see that Sam Darnold is much of an upgrade over Geno.
I actually think it's a downgrade.
Wow. Okay. Well, either way, it can't be much of a downgrade if you think it's a downgrade. It's certainly not much of an upgrade. So it's just kind of linear.
Yeah.
And that is weird. People are like, well, why do that? But I guess that's why, is they wanted a stopgap for another year or two, and that's it. And now they've got Darnold for the stopgap for what? 2 years? And you said, that third year isn't guaranteed, right?
And we'll see where they go. The other thing about Seattle that you have to realize is that when you look at the history of John Schneider and you look at the history of Pete Carroll, and I know Pete's gone, but let's just take Seattle and John Schneider, right? Pete Carroll away. Let's take John Schneider. John Schneider, during his tenure, has never once signaled a rebuild. It is always a retool. Always. And he has no problem moving on from people. He had no problem moving on from the Legion of Boom. He had no problems moving on from Marshawn Lynch. He had no problems moving on from offensive linemen. He had no problems moving on from Russell Wilson, right? Bobby Wagner. He has no problem saying that we are going to move on too early than too late. And he's never once said that we are just going to be bad and we're going to go out and we're going to tear this thing down to the studs. It's just not in his DNA. He is always trying to be competitive. So I think the frustrating part, if you're a Seahawks fan, is you're like, okay, so you didn't think that Geno Smith was good enough to get you over the hump, or certainly not enough for you to want to pay him, right? He was a bridge guy. So if that's the case, then why not tear this thing down a little bit and then try to take a step backwards to go up? Instead, you go in with Sam Darnold, who I do believe is a downgrade from Geno Smith. Sam Darnold went from the most, and this is where I'm going to be negative towards what Seattle did. Sam Darnold played in the most comfortable environment you can play last year in Minnesota. He was playing with a top three or four play caller in the league. He was playing behind a really good offensive line. He was playing in a dome. He has the best receiver in the league. He probably has the second or third best number two receiver in the league. He has an elite top five or six tight end, and he played in a scheme that was very, very quarterback friendly, like I said, with a really, really bright offensive mind. And there was a lot of success there. But it wasn't like this phenomenal, you know, over the top. It was very Geno Smith-esque. And you're taking all of those things and you're basically removing them. You're putting him in an outdoor environment. You're putting him in a crappy offensive line, and maybe they address that. You're putting him behind a very unproven play caller in Clint Kubiak, with the exception of the three games he had in New Orleans to start last year. Not really sure. I mean, I like the concepts of what Clint Kubiak does, but you certainly can't say that that guy's a top flight OC. He certainly hasn't proved it. You're dumping him into a place where you got rid of your number one and your number two receiver. You don't have an elite tight end, and you haven't figured out your run game. None of those things lead me to believe that the Sam Darnold, who is a pressure-sensitive quarterback, is going to be able to duplicate what he did in Minnesota. So from one standpoint, if you don't believe in Geno Smith and you don't think Geno's the guy there, there's part of me that just asks the question, then why didn't you just tear it down and take the bigger swing and instead going with what just feels like a Geno Smith, but less expensive, or again, a lesser version of Geno Smith that's going to be put in a worse situation than he was last year, which was the only good year he's ever had in the NFL. That's out of the vacuum where I look at that if I'm a Seahawks fan and be like, what are we doing?
Well, if you put it that way, fire John Schneider. What the hell are we doing? But I mean, he would probably retort and say, well, you don't have to tear it down.
Yeah.
I've never, like you said, I've never had to tear it down.
Nope.
They won the Super Bowl in 2013.
Yep.
And since then, the fewest amount of games they've won is 7.
Yeah.
Every other season, it's been 9 or more.
They don't tear down.
They're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Now, you could also, the flip side of that would be, well, what does 9 wins get you? What does 10-7 get you, which they were last year? Not a whole hell of a lot.
Keeps your job, maybe?
But at the same time, I think I would agree with Schneider, and I think he's proven that you don't have to tear it down to retool it.
Yeah.
To fiddle.
Yeah.
As it were.
He
and
is
that's
a fiddler.
That's what he's doing again. Yeah. The Darnold thing, now that I think the two things are separate from each other. I think you can, I don't know, I don't really get what they're doing at quarterback, but that doesn't mean I have to agree with it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. maybe it's better that you have Darnold and not a rookie, considering all the things you just laid out.
Sure.
Maybe that's better for a couple of years. And it's a reasonably good contract, right? I mean,
it is. It's basically the, because now,
quarterbacks
now with the quarterback bump, right? Or not quarterback bump, the salary cap bump, this is essentially Baker Mayfield. This becomes, if you believe Sam Darnold is a, if you believe he is a solid starting quarterback, and we're going to put him as a top 15 quarterback, which, by the way, he's done it for 1 year. But if you believe he's that guy, this is the friendliest contract of any, quote, well, starting quarterback in the NFL.
As I was saying on Friday, I was probably dead wrong. It seems that they must like a rookie.
Well, by
they
the
must
way,
not like a rookie.
I still think
they might
think
also
they
like a rookie.
Yeah, they're going to take a rookie.
Especially if it's not one of the top dudes. Like,
well, then why are you see, that's where I don't get paying Sam Darnold $36 million a year if you really do have your eyes set on a rookie.
Because if he's a third or fourth rounder and he flops, then you look like a bigger idiot.
Well, he will.
Well, but there's way cheaper than Darnold than to.
But this is my point, and this is why.
To back up a rookie.
This is just your where you sit in your risk-averse sort of world. John Schneider has never been willing to say we are not going to be competitive. And I think if you draft Jackson Dart or you draft Tyler Shuck, whoever that is in the third round, you are basically telling the world, hey, we're probably not going to be competitive, and he won't do it.
Well, but wait.
But I'm willing to bet my hat that Seattle, third and fourth round, a quarterback will come off the board for Seattle.
Okay.
They'll have a bite at the apple.
But this idea that we're not going to be competitive, or we're... We want to be competitive, but yet we're going with Geno Smith and Sam Darnold.
No.
That's a little disingenuous. I get it. Those guys can help you stay afloat, but they are not, and Schneider knows this, they are not getting you where you want to go.
Probably
So they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouths.
Yes.
It's that as long as you have a bridge quarterback, yes, you may be competitive. Technically, that's right, but who cares about that? No. The question is what are you doing to put that quarterback piece in place. And that's why people look at Darnold and they go, and they did that with Geno Smith. And you could easily do that with somebody like, I mean, Justin Fields got $20 million today.
Yeah.
He's more mobile, you know, than Darnold with that offensive. I mean, and I'm just saying there are so many guys.
I would have rather done that, but that's just me.
There are so many guys there. If you're going to say Darnold at 36 or a lesser veteran at 10 to 20 to 25, there's probably six or seven guys I can name,
and that's me,
that I would rather do. But
I don't like Justin Fields at all. I would have rather had Justin Fields at his price tag than Sam Darnold, but that's
exactly,
but that's just me,
especially if the young quarterback is going to be the play.
Yes.
So I don't,
this
so it doesn't make sense.
Who was the Green Bay guy
Matt Flynn.
And remember, it was way back when, but they gave Matt Flynn, I believe, it was the biggest free agent. And by the way, that wasn't a lot of money. It was like 10, 12 million back then. But they gave him a decent chunk of change as a free agent to come in and be the starter. And then they drafted, I believe, Russ in the third or fourth round. I think it was the third. And Russ beat him out. This, to me, this smells a little bit like that. They will draft a quarterback. Don't know if they'll beat him out. But they will spend this year, and if it doesn't work this year, the year after that, they will continue to take bites at this apple until they find a Dak or a Russell Wilson in the third or fourth round.
There's sports talk. We're done.
Sports.
See you guys tomorrow. We're back at 3. Actually, no, we'll just sit it out until the club.
And by the way, for the love of God, fix your O-line.
Oh, they will.
Chicago did it in like one day.
2 days.
Yeah,
well,
it's two.
2 weeks.
Fix.
They got Thuny and
fix.
Who else did they get?
Offensive line.
Who else? The Bears.
For the love of God, they got the kid out of
what's his nuts. Did they get what's his?
No, they got what's his nuts out of the Rams. That
oh,
was
they didn't
with
get
Ben
what's
Johnson
his?
In Detroit.
His name is
Jackson.
Dart. Jackson Dart.
No, they did not get Jackson Dart. Who'd they go out and get? It's driving me nuts. It's on the tip of my tongue. He was in Detroit. They went out and got Jonah Jackson.
Who?
Jonah Jackson, who was in Detroit. He was the Rams' big free agent signee last year. Got hurt, came back, wasn't the same, just didn't work out. But Ben Johnson's comfortable with him. And when he's healthy, he was a very nice player.
All right.
And
all right.
Then they went out and got the best free agent center
right.
in Dahlman out of Atlanta. They completely rebuilt.
Three new offensive linemen.
Completely rebuilt their interior O-line like because they realized Caleb Williams can't survive. And the Seahawks haven't rebuilt the interior offensive line in a freaking decade. So I don't care who the quarterback is.
Well, they tried. They drafted.
Fix that.
When they drafted Cross and what's-his-nuts.
That was
they
tackle. Tried. That was tackle. And, you know.
Well, I know, but offensive line.
Yeah.
You know.
They spend capital on it. They just can't. They haven't quite gotten it right yet. Haven't gotten it right.
That's all right, baby. My hey. Seahawks are coming for you.
Who loves you, baby? Not the interior offensive line.
All right. Well, we'll start the show. The show has unofficially begun. The official beginning starts with the worst title in all of sports, the legal tampering period, next on The Fan. The heat is on. The heat's on the Seahawks. The heat's on John Schneider. The heat's on Big Sook.
The H is O. The heat's on me. What
yep.
did I do?
The heat's on you.
Huh?
Your hot takes.
Hot. Keeping that sweet $8 in our pants.
The heat's on the Yankees. Did you see the late breaking news? Sports news? In
the
sports?
What the hell do the Yankees do now?
This is breaking news.
Their whole roster's falling apart.
Oh, the Gerrit Cole thing?
Gerrit Cole, Tommy John surgery. It's official. He is out.
But that was like a couple days ago. They basically, anytime someone goes in with the dreaded, like, elbow pain.
We're going to get a second opinion. Yeah, Chances are the first opinion's really bad.
Yeah, it's usually not like this. Hey, that first doctor you saw is a damn idiot. No, he done.
So they'll probably trade for Jacob deGrom in 2 months?
Well, and then his arm will literally fall off, so.
And then they'll trade for Shane McClanahan in 3 months?
It's not good, though. It's not good for.
And then they'll trade for
Cole.
Who else is out there?
I don't know who else is out there. You can get one of the Dodgers' 17 starters.
No, the Dodgers aren't trading those guys.
Who's the, is it?
They'll get an
what's
ace.
What's the Japanese guy that came over?
Sadahara O.
No.
He never came over, did he?
What?
What?
You said who's the Japanese guy that came over? You said Sadahara O. Did he just stay in Japan?
I think he was hitting bombs in Japan the whole time.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't come over.
No,
I was joking, of course.
The guy that the Dodgers just went and got.
Kodai Senga.
No, that would be the New York Mets. What is the Dodgers?
Ichiro Suzuki.
I hate you so much. Mainly because you don't know, and so now
it's not the Yoshinobu Yamamoto, right?
No, he was here last year.
No,
it's
was here last
Sasaki.
Year.
I think his name is Sasaki.
Roki Sasaki?
Yeah. Yeah, Roki Sasaki. Did you see some of his stuff in the preseason?
I don't care.
Oh, my God. I was watching some highlights of that dude. My word.
And you're saying he's good?
Yeah, and I know that's just that spring training, but, dude, some of his stuff is absolutely filthy.
Great.
This just in. Dodgers, probably going to be pretty good.
Screw the Dodgers. Screw the Yankees.
Screw you. Don't screw the Mets. Hey, I'm excited. Let's go.
You guys have somehow managed, even though you have a bigger payroll than both of those teams, you've somehow managed to become the little engine that could.
I know, it's fantastic. We have like one of the richest owners in sports, and he's willing to spend, and yet like somehow they don't get labeled as like an evil empire. Well, we haven't won since 1986, so that kind of helps.
So the Yankees now have Max Fried. They did get him in free agency from the Braves. He last pitched for the Braves.
Yeah.
They have Rodon still, who kind of sucks. And they have Stroman and Clark Schmidt. that's where the Yankees are. So they're gonna probably have to make a trade.
Probably.
And he got hurt the other day, so they're probably gonna have to make a trade. Mm. Which probably means I know who they'll get. They'll get Cole Reagans from my Royals.
Oh, there you go.
I guarantee you that something like that will happen.
Makes sense. Well, either way, it makes me I can't say I'm happy that Gerrit Cole's hurt because I don't wish for injury, but
I am.
I kind of enjoy the fact that the Yankees are just kind of moving to just go over there. Second class citizens there in New York. Get. Here come the Mets.
Yeah. You shove them into a corner until they pull off the big trade and all of a sudden whip your ass.
Yeah, we can outspend
them. Because they're the Yankees,
We can outspend them now. That's fine. There's only one team in New York that matters, and it's not the Yankees.
I hate the Yankees so much.
Well, who doesn't?
All right. Well, what were we doing? Oh, the Seahawks have a new quarterback today.
Yeah, I was yelling about interior offensive lines and how the Bears finally addressed it, and the Seahawks haven't done it in a decade.
The Seahawks have Sam Darnold now. 3 years, $100.5 million U.S. dollars.
Get out of this thing after a year or two, whatever. Just remember,
I think he's going to suck. But
don't pay any attention to the numbers that get thrown out there. Pay attention to the guaranteed money. Pay attention to the years. And the way teams view dead money now, it used to be that dead cap money was like, oh, my God. Dude, that thing gets kicked down the road so often. They're like, fine.
They're like the Yankees and Dodgers.
Exactly.
Elbow injuries. We'll just find another guy. We'll just rip off somebody else.
Yeah.
It's like the Lakers. Oh, let's just get Luka out of nowhere.
If the Darnold thing doesn't work out, or if they can move on for him in a year or two, so whatever. It's the definition of a stopgap. And then if he turns out to be something, re-sign him. It's the friendliest starting quarterback deal in all of football right now, not on a rookie deal. And
I guess it is, isn't it? Because Geno got more. Huh?
Geno got more. Baker's is more, although as a percentage of the cap, because the cap goes up, it's basically the Baker Mayfield deal. It is. Now, Baker, I would much rather have over Sam Darnold, but...
Now, is Fields going to start for the Jets?
Yeah, Fields will start for the Jets.
Okay, well, that's the friendliest starting quarterback. He got Fields, 2 years, $40 million.
Fields has never been a starter, though.
Like, well, yeah, he has.
Well, how about this? Fields has never had a year where you're like, that's my starting quarterback. Darnold has had at least one. Darnold won 14 games last year. Justin Fields has never done anything to prove that he is a starting quarterback. Justin Fields is a reclamation project. He's what Sam Darnold was last year. He's what Geno Smith was 3 years ago. So of guys that have at least shown you for a year they can be a starting quarterback, the Sam Darnold deal is the friendliest deal in the NFL. But you do have to now take into consideration, again, the only time that he was ever successful at all in the NFL was indoors with arguably the two best, well, probably the second best receiving combo this side of Cincinnati, with an all-pro tight end, a top 12 offensive line, and a top 3 or 4 play caller in the league. And none of those things exist in Seattle.
I'll continue with my very provocative Seahawks offseason opinions. Mm. I do one a year. Last year, I missed because I said that Geno would be benched for Sam Howell by week 6.
Yeah.
That was not
no.
That did not come to fruition.
Nope.
So I was wrong.
Nope.
So I'm now 7-1.
No. Strong no.
In my super hot Seahawks offseason opinions.
And it is hot.
I hit 7 in a row before that, as you know.
Yes.
So this one will be Sam Darnold will be benched by week 8.
I like it. It's a bold claim.
That's my new hot Seahawks opinion. And you heard it here first.
I like the idea. My bold claim will be that Seattle in the 3rd round will draft a quarterback. Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck, one of those guys, someone like that, will be coming to Seattle with the 3rd pick, and it will be a competition. Sam Darnold will not be handed this job.
Here's one. Somebody texted in, Pirates fan here, don't even think of trading Paul Skeens. There's another one. I bet you the Yankees get Paul Skeens by July.
I'm just joking. The Pirates will go, oh, and look how much we got back in return. And their fans will go, we don't care.
Yeah, they'll be like, well, we weren't going to be able to afford to pay him, so we got a couple of these young picks.
They will burn PNC Park to the ground.
Yeah, they're not trading Skeens. No. But that's the kind of thing the Yankees will... They'll find a way to do something.
And by
like
the way, more free agency just comes in like every 6 minutes ago.
What do we got? Kenny Pickett trade?
Zach Wilson.
wait.
Two?
Let me guess. I want to guess. Do you want to guess, Buck?
Yeah. I'll guess.
Zach Wilson is going to go to the Raiders.
Mm.
I was going to say Zach Wilson to the Saints.
The Miami Dolphins.
Oh.
Whoa.
Zach Wilson is getting $6 million fully guaranteed to go to Miami and kick rocks.
Well, once Tua takes another hit, then it'll be his job, right?
That could grow to $10 million. It is good right now. I'll tell you right now. It is good to be a backup quarterback, and it is good to be the 3rd or 4th receiver on a team. Because if you are a even serviceable, if you are Josh Palmer and you can just go out and stand somewhere around the hash mark and not embarrass your team, $10 million. And you don't even have to be good. You can be just an absolute dog crap quarterback, but they have to pay a backup $6 million. It is good to be a 3rd or 4th receiver, and it's good to be a backup quarterback in this
league. And he gets to go down to live in Miami.
Yeah.
No state, like it down there.
No state tax, a lot of retired hot moms down there. It's good to be Zach Wilson right now. They gave that dude $6 million. Gosh almighty.
All right. I did allude to the big Kenny Pickett news.
Yes, that is true.
Which we will get to. Yeah. One last thing on the Seahawks. You do have to give them credit for one thing. You know, they punted on Geno and DK.
Yeah.
And they got a second, a third, mm-hmm. and they don't have to pay DK an exorbitant salary.
Here's my other hot take.
So those are pretty good. I mean, it's a decent return.
It's a decent return.
For those two guys?
Within a year, that DK Metcalf trade will age like moldy bread.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that next.
Yeah.
Because we haven't gotten to that. If you haven't seen, DK Metcalf is going to the Steelers.
Got paid!
So we'll get to that next year's Buck.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we're talking about NFL free agency. Actually, I have another one real quick before we get back to the NFL.
Which
Yankees, they'll trade for Dylan Cease. How about that? There's another one. They will.
Because he's on the White Sox? Oh, he's on. Oh, that's right.
He's at the Padres, but they were talking about trading him. I guarantee the Yankees will just go get somebody just as good as, maybe not quite as good as Garrett Cole.
I was going to say, it's not act like you can find Garrett Cole just sitting.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This happens to well, not the Mets, but this happens to the Pirates. Skeens goes down, they're screwed.
Yeah.
Yankees?
Well,
there is
something to be said for having your money and to buy your way out of things. But you have to have prospects to make these things happen.
Or you could be the Lakers and just get a call one night and say, hey, you want one of the best players in the league?
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Sure, we'll take him.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want for him? An older, injured, worse version of him?
Yeah, perfect.
Take that. Exactly. We got it. See, the other night, the Mavericks had seven players. Two of their guys collided. They finished the game with seven bodies.
How are they doing ATS? Since the Kyrie Irving injury, I'm guessing people are fading them hard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they getting? I always love things like that. You know, like are they?
They're still two
hanging
up,
in there.
They're still two up in the play-in over the Phoenix Suns and four over your Portland Trail Blazers.
But are they getting blown out now? Is my question.
That I don't know. They are 3-7 in their last 10. I do know that, including five in a row that they've lost.
Well, anyway, who cares about the Dallas Mavericks?
Looks like they're losing by 10 plus. Most nights, by the way.
See,
so
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I bet those lines are so high. Like the Blazers are catching 12 tonight. You see that? They're on the road again.
Yeah, 8 out of 9 on the road.
That's crazy. They had that 7-game trip. They
came
come home and
one.
Play one game, and now they have to go back out on the road?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bucks beat them by 20. The Kings beat them by 20.
This is the Mavs?
The Mavericks. Grizzlies beat them by 12. Phoenix beat them by 15. Yeah, it's not
okay,
going.
So
it's not going great.
Those lines are two touchdowns every night.
Yeah,
probably.
it's got to be because
they have
getting,
no players.
Yeah, they don't have anyone left. They're getting housed. I'll see what they got the Spurs. We'll see what the Spurs line is for you if you want to.
Spurs don't have Wemby, and they don't have a coach.
Hey, 6.5.
Whoa, where's that game?
There's some value. It's in San Antonio.
Isn't that a big rivalry game?
That is Maverick Spurs 6.5. Do with it as you please.
We're going to talk all NBA all day today. You guys, what do you guys think of that?
Who needs free
people
agency?
Love our NBA content.
No, this is hot legal tampering talk here on The Fan.
Fiddling as you were.
Fiddle phase.
A little fiddle faddle.
Well, DK Metcalf got traded.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that the Seahawks, they wanted a first and a third.
Which I just laughed at.
DK Metcalf!
And we about spit out our little hot tea.
Yeah.
But then, right before he got traded, it came out, Rossini said, the Seahawks have backed off of their asking price for DK Metcalf, and now they just want a second.
Yeah. Which, look,
they got a second.
They did. I thought it was going to be a third. Because when it was reported that DK was insistent on $30 million, I was like, yeah. So remember, anytime you're making these sorts of deals, it's not just about the compensation. It's about the team has to then pay the guy. So the Steelers were willing to give up a second, which, okay. And then they gave DK Metcalf $30 million a year to place him alongside George Pickens, who is also an outside, big, physical, kind of one-trick pony receiver with an attitude problem. And they don't have anyone that can throw him the ball. Look, I get where Pittsburgh is coming and that every year Pittsburgh is in desperate need of offensive firepower. I don't know if DK Metcalf solves your problem in Pittsburgh. Again, if I'm Seattle and someone wants to give me a second and pay DK Metcalf $30 million, hey, tip of the cap, walk off into the sunset. I have no problems with that whatsoever. In fact, I'm glad Seattle didn't pay him. Didn't pay him that
money. I'm with you. I think that, you know, the primetime stamp of approval is hard to get.
Yeah.
But we gave it on the Russell Wilson trade.
Yeah.
And we gave it on the Geno Smith trade, and we'll give it on the DK Metcalf trade. I see what they're doing.
Yeah, this is one thing that John Schneider, if you look over his tenure, he has not been afraid to move on from players.
And the Steelers, I don't really get what they're doing.
Of desperation.
Well, they're usually not that type of franchise.
No.
That's the thing about them is it's very out of character for the Steelers because now they're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Let me also say this real quick. I want nothing more than Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh to happen.
Why? Relax. I think he'd look cool in a Steelers uniform.
Aaron Rodgers is a little bitch. This is what I want more than anything else. Because when you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you are bringing in a little bit of that that reality show circus volatile sort of mix, right? And Aaron Rodgers asks one thing of his receivers and one thing only, to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be. And if you are not, that man will freak the blank out on you and has gone as far as to try to get people benched and or cut for not being where they're supposed to be. Would you care to guess what George Pickens and DK Metcalf do worse than just about any other quality receiver in the NFL? Be where they're supposed to be. If you give me Aaron Rodgers and he wants to play in a timing offense with DK Metcalf and George Pickens, get your popcorn and get your chair out because that thing will implode within like 5 or 6 weeks and I'm here for it.
Most likely NFL murder. Tomlin will kill Rodgers. Rodgers will kill Metcalf. Rodgers will kill Pickens. Tomlin will kill Metcalf. Or Metcalf will kill Rodgers.
Metcalf kills Rodgers.
Can I also throw in Metcalf and Pickens kill each other?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Why don't you? I see them thick as thieves.
No, that's a Spider-Man meme.
Well, they'll kill an opposing DB together. They'll team up on one, but they'll eventually kill themselves.
Yeah,
or kill each other.
Yeah, it's just.
So you went with DK will kill Rodgers first.
Yes,
I think Tomlin,
DK Metcalf is unhinged.
What if Tomlin just kills all three of them?
Yeah, I think Tomlin might be the murderer here.
I just can't imagine a worse situation than a real lack of run game, and then DK Metcalf, George Pickens, and Aaron Rodgers. Just, let's go. I'm here for it. Sign me up. Let's do it. But this smells of desperation. And look, I guess I get it from the standpoint of anytime you're dealing in free agency or anytime you're dealing in these sorts of trades, you have to pay sticker plus, right? You're not paying MSRP. You're just not. The car is in demand, and there was no, and I mean no good receiver in free agents. Not a single one of these guys in free agency makes a damn bit of difference. I still believe in finding receivers in the draft, but I get it. You've tried to do this. Some years you have, some years you haven't. But from Claypool and some of these guys haven't worked out. So if you're Pittsburgh, you're in the desperate need of trying to find someone that has some juice. George Pickens can't be your number one. And so you overpay for DK Metcalf. I kind of get it. I guess kind of. But this just smacks of, this is a desperate move that almost never works out. And I'm here to tell you, this is my bold prediction. Within a year, people will look at this and be like, what did they do? This will not age well.
Seahawks, if you're wondering, now have 11 picks in the upcoming draft. Mm-hmm. They have they pick 18th in the first round.
Yeah.
Then they have 2 seconds at 50 and 52. They have 2/3 at 82 and 92. They have 1/4, 1/5, 2/6, and 2/7.
And you've got some needs. I like the way the defense is being built. I still think you take that what was their first round pick? You said
18th.
I would love to see if maybe one of the tackles were to follow you. Probably not. But I'd love to go get one of those tackles that you can maybe move into guard if Lucas and Cross are both healthy. Start them at guard, maybe move them out to tackle. But I think you have to draft someone that can plug and play immediately on your O-line. I do think they take a quarterback in the third round. Guaranteed they're going to take a receiver. Again, that's third and fourth round. One of the two kids out of Iowa State would be phenomenal. There's some players that to plug and play, but they need, and Schneider has done this, they need to hit on 3 or 4 quality starters in this draft. And if they do, you might be able to see
win
something.
10 games.
Well, that's what they do every year. Just right. The Darnold thing kind of scares the lights out of me, but you know,
we've got some other moves. Josh Allen got a little money over the weekend.
I would say so.
And yeah, we'll go through some. Oh, a big trade today with the Commies.
Yes.
Involving the Commanders.
Hey, the Commies were very aggressive.
Yeah.
We're wondering, like with Houston last year, when they kind of were like, oh, our clock has been sped up, how aggressive are we going to be? We were going to see how aggressive the Commanders were going to be. Turns out aggressive doesn't even begin to describe it. That is a mashing of the gas pedal.
So that's next on The Fan. Well, we don't need each other. The richest guy over the weekend, or the guy that became the richest, mm-hmm. was not Ryan Buckley and his sports bets.
No.
Although maybe it was.
That's never going to be the case.
It wasn't even Myles Garrett.
I do enjoy the Myles Garrett, I never want to play for the Browns again. Wait, how much money?
Boy, that was quite the turn.
I mean,
I want to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. I want a better organization.
Did you see who they got at quarterback today?
Yeah, they made a deal with, did they get Kenny Two Gloves or Kenny Two Gloves?
They got Kenny Pickett, bro.
Yeah.
Not one, not two.
Look, we can all sit here and say that it's about winning, but dude, when someone gives you that much money and they were going to make it hard for you anyways, and it's not like you could just sit out all year, what are you going to do?
Well,
when someone gives you that much guaranteed money, you shut up and take it.
Well, not always, because you can get that elsewhere too. I mean, maybe not quite that much, but if winning was real, it really mattered to him. He would have held. But I think maybe we learned. Like, him requesting a trade was just probably to shake the money tree.
Well, I do think he wanted out. And but
well, wouldn't you? I mean, they won 3 games or whatever it was. Or
but it's
games.
Funny that when someone offers you that much money, and by the way, you can get that much money, and then a year from now, go back to shaking the tree again and be like, "Get me the hell out of here."
Well, it's a no brainer. It's kind of a no lose situation to request a trade, because if you request a trade and they grant it, you get out of there.
Yeah.
And if you don't, request a trade and they sign you, obviously they want to keep you, and they'll show you the love with a bunch of money.
Yeah.
So he got, you know, I don't know what the Browns are doing paying him. I would have just traded him because they're not that good.
No.
So why are you locking him? I mean, like, it doesn't make, you had him and won 3 or 4 games. What the hell are you doing? Just get a bunch of picks and, you know, I don't know.
Again, it goes into that situation where when you go into the rebuild, everyone's going to get fired. So it's a desperation move and a locker room move, and it's hard to give up on the best defensive player in the NFL in his prime. It signals that you're a horse crap organization, and you already are a horse crap organization, but you can't admit it, so you end up paying that freight, and it's going to do nothing for your. You know, you still suck because you're trading for Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, that's
or you're signing Kenny Pickett.
I don't really get it. I would have just dealt him. Anyway, the rich guy is now Josh Allen of Bills fame, who is now getting, what, $250 million guaranteed. He gets a quarter of a billion.
It officially passes
guaranteed.
Deshaun Watson as the most guaranteed money in NFL history.
And he is now worth more than the entire city of Buffalo combined.
I do believe he can buy Buffalo, yes.
I was just reading about him. Did you know that he actually already holds the Bills touchdown record, rushing touchdown record? He passed Thurman Thomas.
Get right the hell out
of
town.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's still behind Jim Kelly.
Yeah, Jim Kelly was slinging it. I knew that.
Pass touchdowns?
Yeah.
But he's second. So he's second in pass TDs and first in rush TDs.
Mm. Well, when you're coming off an MVP
and
season.
And probably first in most TD, if you know what I'm saying.
Nah, he's getting married. So what? That actress.
That actress.
Yeah, Haley Steinfeld.
Steinfeld, I believe.
Yeah, but come on. Don't act like Josh Allen hasn't gotten his share of Tutty. Buffalo Tutty.
No,
Wyoming Tud.
He's out visiting kids in hospitals. He would never.
Boy, you want to talk about that? That's a good looking guy. But he was having to sling it at Wyoming.
He went from like Central Valley, farmland, California to Wyoming to Buffalo.
That is rough.
It's a rough go of it.
God.
Mixed in a tropical location for him one time.
Yeah, spend some off seasons in Miami. Get on that Tyreek Hill plan, Joshy. Come on.
Well, he gets, he's already got, he had 4 years, $140 million left on his current deal.
Yeah.
So they gave him $330 million over, I think, another six-year extension.
And again, they can just, it's about the structure of it and kind of moving money around. When you have a quarterback that you know is going to be there, you can play around with the monies to free some stuff up. And you'll see this now, they'll do this with Pat Mahomes. Dak Prescott, Dak was scheduled to have a cap hit of $80 million this year.
Yeah, they restructured that.
Yeah, so this is one of those that when you have someone signed through 2031, the amount of times that you're going to restructure and move and convert stuff into bonuses, this is how you kick things down the road. And this is what good organizations do, and cheap ass like the Cincinnati Bengals don't, because realize that the owners in Buffalo now have to put they have to write a check for $250 million and put it in escrow. And this is why some teams are rich and some teams are poor. Well, I guess flip that. This is why some teams can operate it this way and some teams can't, because certain teams aren't willing to write checks for, I don't care how rich you are, unless you're one of the Waltons, I'm guessing that's a tough check to write. 250 mil? You just peel off and you're like, eh. But that's how good teams kick money down the road and free up space to go get other players.
Okay, so I have an exercise for you coming up next.
Okay.
And it is the next two or three quarterbacks that are due monies, U.S. monies. I have the projections for their contracts, and I want to see if you can match.
It's going to be absurd.
The player to the contract. Projection.
It's insane.
So we'll do that coming up next.
And this is the other one. Good organizations, unlike Cincinnati and Dallas, realize that every time a new contract gets signed, it resets the bar.
That's why you got to go early.
So by waiting and sitting around, teams like Cincinnati and Dallas cost themselves tens of millions of dollars because they wait until someone else resets the market. Whereas if you reset the market, yes, it sucks, but realize that the cap continues to go up every year, and by resetting the market, the next guy will get more and more and more, so it gets more costly. So if you know you're going to sign someone, and he's going to be a part of your franchise for 5+ years, the cornerstone, waiting to extend him is the dumbest thing you can do. See the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, we'll be right back. Stockwatch next hour as well on The Fan.